All right, if you'll take your Bibles now and turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I've entitled this message, Who Receives Christ? Who Receives Christ? John chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. The Scripture says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, John confesses that the Word that was with God and the Word that was God, in verse 14, I believe it is, he said, the Word was made flesh. He came unto His own. God manifest in the flesh. The promised Messiah came. God swore He would come
from the beginning, and now He had come. This nation of Israel. And I want you to see that at this time, the nation of Israel was at its greatest hypocrisy. At this point, the nation of Israel was at its highest point of self-righteousness. Now, in the times past in their before their captivity in Babylon, you remember they were held captive in Babylon because of their worship of false gods. They bowed down to sticks and stones. And you remember God put them into captivity, but after their return, after God's 70 years were determined and God caused their deliverance, after that time, from that time until the time of Christ, never was it again that Israel bowed to stocks and stones. Never again did Israel outwardly turned to false idols. They never bowed down to those gods, the false gods of other nations. But after their return from Babylon, they never committed open idolatry. They never bowed to those gods. Yet, listen, their worship of the living God was nothing more than a vain show. Was nothing more than an empty bodily exercise. Outwardly, they were perceived as righteous people. Outwardly, they manifest that they worship God outwardly. But this is what Christ said of them. He said, "Well said Isaiah of this generation, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." How truly does this speak of our own generation? We see that many profess to be Christians in our generation. They won't bow down to wood or stones or idols of gold. They go to church. They obey the traditions of men. They faithfully perform all the rituals and ceremonies provided them. They go through the motions of religion. But well does the prophet say of them, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So many are walking in religion, professing to worship Christ with their hearts, their minds, and yet their minds and bodies are given over to the world and to the flesh and to false religion. They're given over to trust in their own self-righteousness. They're given over to vain dreams of pleasing God by their works and by their will. They have zeal, yet it's empty. Those Pharisees in Christ's day, there is nobody more zealous than they were. Nobody more zealous to obey the law of Moses than they were. And yet Christ says this, that's a vain show. All it is a vain show. Such was the time of our Lord's coming. The light of the world had come into his world. And yet, what was his testimony? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And he's not just talking about wicked, evil men. He's talking about, he's not outwardly overt sinners. He's talking about the religious people, the self-righteous people. Not just those that love adultery, fornication, and all that. Those who love self-righteousness. Their deeds are evil. He who made all things, sustained all things, had suddenly come into his own. Isn't that what it says? He came unto his own. He came unto his own. The Son of God, robed in glory and praise and power from the beginning of eternity, yet now he laid aside his garments of glory and robed himself in human flesh and came to his own creation, his own people. The Son was promised to come, and yet he was rejected, despised, hated. The Son that was promised had now come to save his people from their sins. He had come to redeem Israel, to set the captives free, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Year of Jubilee. That's what he came. He came to preach Jubilee, joy, freedom. But what did they do to him? Did they receive him? Did they bow down and worship him? No. The text says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They received him not. But I'm thankful for the next verse. As many as received him. In other words, some did receive him. And to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. Now, this text before us is a microcosm of all of you here. Matter of fact, it's a microcosm of all men everywhere. We fit into one of these two categories. Either you receive him not, or you receive him. There's no middle ground here. You are either one who has received him, or you have one that has not received him. Two groups. Those who reject Christ and those who receive him. The text reveals that there is joy and privilege to those that receive him. To them, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to what? Become something they weren't. The sons of God. They have a right to be called the sons of God. These that receive him are born not of their will, not of the will of some man, not because of their blood relation. They were born by the will of God. What a privilege, what a grace, what a mercy. And yet those who received him not, listen, only death and judgment awaits them. There's no blessing in not receiving him. Now then, I want to know what the difference is, don't you? Paul asked that question, who maketh thee to differ from another? There's a difference here, isn't there? A great difference. Between those who receive him and those who receive him. What is the reason? How is it that these men, now Christ came into his own, he came, and think about this, these people that were listening, they saw the same man, didn't they? They heard the same message. They witnessed his miracles, all of them. They saw him crucified. They saw him raised from the dead. And yet, some received him and some did not receive him. What made the difference? What's the reason? They witnessed his righteousness, his death, his resurrection. Why did some receive and believe on him while others did not? The only answer of the Word of God is simply this. Listen very carefully. The difference is the will of God. That's the difference. The will of God. Which were born? What made the difference? They're born. Now, what's the cause of their birth? Not their human relationships. Not their own will of the flesh, nor the will of some other man. Here's the difference. It is the will of God. That is the difference. The sovereign will of God. That God determined both the rejection of one and the reception of the other. God determined both the reception and the rejection. Those who received him, being no different by nature from those that received him not. There's no difference in the person. There's no difference. You that received him, you understand this. That there was no difference. There was nothing different between you and Esau. Naturally. Nothing. There's nothing different between you and the worst pedophile that ever lived upon the face of the earth. There's no difference. And if you believe there's some difference, it's because you've not received him. You believe that you're better than somebody else, it's because you've not been given sight to see who you really are. You still think you're somebody. You still think you got some power. You got some control over this matter. You have no control. None whatsoever. The difference is the will of God. I kick and spit and cuss all you want to at it. Ain't gonna do you no good. It is the will of God that makes the difference. The only cause for the salvation and faith is the will and power of God. Even so, those who received him not, it is because of this, the will of God. You suppose those who receive him not are somehow outside of the will of God? That God, oh wow, what happened there? God didn't know what happened. Why are they not receiving him? I don't understand. No, he willed it so. He willed it so. This is plainly revealed in Scripture. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Who cares about my opinion? Go to Romans 9. Romans 9. Paul makes a big to-do about the Israelites. He said, look, they've been given blessing. They had the law, they had the prophets, they had everything. God swore to save Israel. And now then he's asking the question, why did Israel crucify the Lord? Why did they reject him? He tells us plainly why they rejected him. He said, is the word of God of none effect? God says, I'm going to save Israel. And yet, look, Israel, they crucified him. What does he mean? Well, he says this in verse 6. He says, the word of God is not taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because of they the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Just because you're born in Israel don't mean you're a child of God. You're not going to go to heaven because you're a child of Abraham. That's not what he's saying. He said because you're an Israelite, God didn't send Christ just to save you because you're a child of Abraham. That's not who he came to save. He came to save another Israel, spiritual Israel. And he says, that is, now he's explained himself. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But who are the children of God? The children of promise are counted for the seed. These children of promise, who are they? They are the elect of God. It is upon these that God determined to show mercy. It was these alone who were given to Christ. The Father chose a people for Himself. Who cares what men think about this? This is the facts. This is truth. God chose a people for Himself and put the responsibility of their salvation solely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He gave them to Christ. Why do you suppose Christ was not frustrated when men rejected Him? I'd be frustrated, wouldn't you? He got thousands of people. He just fed thousands of people with a few loaves and fishes, and now they follow Him across the sea, and He's preaching to them, and all the while they don't believe. Christ knows this. They're going to go away. And yet He's not disappointed. Why is that? Because He knows His sheep. He said, I know My sheep. You believe not. You will not receive Me because. Now listen. Because you are not of My sheep. That's why you won't receive Me. But My sheep, they hear My voice, they receive Me. And they follow Me. And I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. God chose a people, gave them to Christ, not by any merits of their own, but by His own sovereign will and power. And conversely then, those who were not chosen of God, in this text of Romans chapter 9, He pictures by the man Esau. Jacob is a picture of spiritual Israel. Esau is a picture of the reprobate. Look at this in verse 11. He said, for the children, not yet being born, neither having done good or evil, nothing in them. Nothing in them provoked God's choice. For this purpose, the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. He said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What in the world are you going to say to that? What shall we say then? He's already anticipating your objection. You're going to say, is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unrighteous to do such a thing? Oh, shut up. God forbid you should say such a thing like that, you wicked man. God forbid. God is not unrighteous. You're unrighteous. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. It is not of him that willeth. You got that? Why did you receive Him? Well, I willed it so. You've just contradicted the Word of God. It is not of him that willeth. You got that? Is there anybody misunderstand that word? Now, you may not like it. Anybody misunderstand it? It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth or worketh or doeth the ceremonies or rituals or going to church or getting baptized. It's not because you did all those things. Why is it you received Him? But of God that showeth mercy. But of God that showeth mercy. Well, you're going to have a further objection to this. Look at verse 19. He answers your further objection. Well, if God chose a people, and only those people are going to be saved, and God's going to only have mercy on those people, and God has rejected the others, and they will never come to Christ, never receive Christ. Thou wilt say unto me, why does he find fault? Well, if God did not choose them and they have no hope of ever coming to Christ, then why does he find fault with them? For who hath resisted his will? No. Here's the answer. No. But who are you? Who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay? Listen, very important, of the same lump. You got that? Now listen, if you were righteous and you deserved heaven and God rejected you, surely you could say something. You deserve heaven? Do you deserve God coming to you? Does God have to come to you for some reason? No. You're in the same lump of Adam's fallen race. You and I deserve only hell. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. And if God gives me what I deserve, hell is it. But of the same lump, consider the grace of God, of the same lump, he make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor. Vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. So regardless of man's rejection, salvation is according to the will of God. It just don't matter. No matter what you say against it. This is just so. Salvation's of the will of God. But now, I want us to turn. Boy, the time goes so fast. I want us to turn now from looking at it in God's perspective. And I want us to turn within. Let us turn within and take our gaze from the sovereignty of God and look at the inner workings. I want us to see the inner workings of the human heart. Let us look at the instrumental causes of both rejection and reception of Christ. I want to see the instrumental causes. We know it's the sovereign will of God. You know, God's got to elect people. I don't know who they are. Do you? Spurgeon said that one man objected and said, well, sir, if God is only going to save the elect, why preach? And Spurgeon said, sir, if you would kindly point out the elect to me, I'll only preach to them. I don't know who they are. We preach to everyone because I don't know. Peradventure. Oh, merciful. God would be gracious and cause you to receive him. But I want to see the inner workings. Those who received him not, surely those that reject Christ know nothing of the sovereignty of God. Isn't that right? Matter of fact, they hate the sovereignty of God. They reject it altogether. They know nothing of that God accomplishes all things after the determined counsel of his own will. So then, in their rejection of Christ, they are following their own minds. Isn't that right? If you reject Christ, it is because of this. You're following your own will. You're doing exactly what you want to do. You're doing according to your own desire. Yet unknowingly, you are doing the will of God. Isn't this what happened at the crucifixion? Listen to what Paul says about the crucifixion, or Peter, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. He said, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, was there anything going to stop his crucifixion? He said, this hour, he said, look, I came to this hour. This is the whole purpose I came for, this hour. God determined the crucifixion of Christ. Yet you, by wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. They fulfilled the will of God, and yet they did exactly what they wanted to do. And you know what? They are right now in hell for killing the Lord of glory. Those who would not receive him killed the Lord of glory, and they are being punished for their sin. Their sin. Now then, let me give you some causes of the rejection of Christ. First of all, spiritual blindness. Men will not receive Christ because they are spiritually blind. Jesus said, if you were blind, then should you see. But because you say, I see, your sin remaineth. There's a lot of religious people saying, I see, I know, all the while they don't know. They don't see. The apostle says in Ephesians 4:18, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The root cause of man's rejection is in himself. He's blind. He's ignorant. He's ignorant of his spiritual need and of Christ's value. Why will men not receive Christ? Because he holds no value to them. This is the instrumental cause. They're blind to see his value. They're blind to see their need of him. Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter 53. He says he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Listen. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Therefore, he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. If you will not receive Christ, it is because you see no beauty in him. You see no value, no need. Therefore, you reject him. You despise him. You hide your face from him and esteem him not. Now listen, the Christ of your own imagination you will receive. Now, I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. I'm talking about a sovereign Christ. And the natural man, he doesn't want a sovereign Christ. He wants to have some part in his salvation. And he's blind to see he can't. He's blind to see that he has no ability to add anything to the work of Christ. Therefore, he will not receive a Christ except he can have some part in it. Well, Jesus did all he can do, and you know, you've just got to, and fill in the blank. Okay? Why do they say that? Because they're blind. They don't see who they really are. They still think they got something to give to God. And you think you got something to give to God? You're blind. You're blind. Second of all, self-righteousness is the reason men won't come to Christ. This is the operation in hearts of man, is self-righteous. Man by nature, because he's ignorant of the righteousness of God, ignorant and blind as to what God requires, therefore the natural man goes about to establish his own righteousness. That's what Paul said of those people that rejected Christ, that would not receive him. Listen to what he said. He said of his nation of Israel, he said, I bear them record, they got a zeal. Boy, you should see them. Boy, they worship. Boy, they really try hard to obey the law. I bear them record, they got a zeal. But not according to knowledge. They're blind. What are they blind of? They are ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God here? It's for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the righteousness of God. And yet these blind, ignorant men are so proud that they assume that their self-righteousness can have some merit before God. This is why you will not receive Christ. It's because you believe you have something to offer. You don't realize that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Thirdly, they reject him because of worldly lusts and affections. The natural man's heart is so set on things of time and sense. He, being dead in sins, has no spiritual life and therefore no sense or heart for the things of God. I know this. Man has a hunger for religion. That's natural for a man to hunger after religious exercise. Religion, it appeals to his fleshly senses. They have an appetite to hear the gospel of works, a message that somehow they can please God. They desire that message. But Paul said that's nothing but sensual. That's nothing but will worship. Yet the natural man has no understanding of his need of the gospel of salvation by the sovereign grace and power of God. You remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul lays out the gospel. He says this, but of Him, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. For this purpose that it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So then why would men not receive that message? Why do you not want to hear that? Why will you not receive the Christ that has accomplished redemption? Here it is. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, he said this, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because he's spiritually discerned. So Jesus told Nicodemus this, except you be born again, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see it, and you will not enter. And the last one is unbelief. Surely unbelief is the prevailing cause. It was most surely the determinate counsel of God then to withhold faith. Remember what he told his disciples? He was speaking in parables. His disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables? He said this, listen, because it is given to you to understand. But to them it is not given. Why do you understand it? Why do you see? Why did you receive Christ? Because it was given to you. Why does He not? Because it is not given to Him. Behold how the natural man then is shackled to his unbelief. Whereby he is not only desires to remain in unbelief, but he himself cannot believe unless God give him faith. Faith is a gift of God. To receive Christ is a gift of God. The natural man then, being blind, self-righteous, loving this world, he will remain in unbelief and continue in it unless God gives him life. But now let us consider that the masses had rejected Christ. Though the multitudes refuse to receive Him and feel no need of Christ, I want you to understand, God is not frustrated. I feel frustrated. I do. I would. Well, I would that all men that I preach to would come to Christ. I would that you would all receive Him. But listen, God is not frustrated. His will is not thwarted. His purpose and will are not thwarted as the false religion supposes. Behold, God has chosen a people before the foundation of the world, and these elect, these beloved of God, were put into an immutable union with Christ. And it was most surely that Christ came into the world to save them. Jesus came as their representative and for them obtained righteousness. Jesus came as their representative and offered Himself a sacrifice to God for their sins. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead for their justification. Jesus Christ now is ascended and sits on the throne of God for this purpose. that everyone the Father gave him should have eternal life. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, that as many as the Father had given me should have eternal life. That's what he's doing. He reconciled us to God. As our surety is seated, ever living to make intercession, to make sure that all of his elect are called and quickened. You know, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter gives out those promises, those great promises that are listed in the prophecy of Joel. He said, unto you and unto your children are these promises given. Well, who? Who is that, are these promises given to? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now that's who the promises belong to. As many as. As many as received him. As many as the Lord our God shall call. He says in Acts chapter 13, as many as were ordained to eternal life received him. That's who's going to receive him. God's not frustrated. He knows who his own are. Therefore, no matter how blind and ignorant the elect may be. Remember, there's no difference, right? Everything I said about those who received him not is true of those who receive him. We were blind. By nature, we're blind. By nature, we're self-righteous. By nature, we're worldly. By nature, we did not believe. But no matter the depth of our depravity, no matter the depth of our blindness and the wickedness of our sin, no matter the greatness of our unbelief, because we are vessels of mercy, the light of the gospel will shine in the eyes of his elect. It will shine in their hearts. And they shall behold the vileness of their own nature. And by grace they will receive Christ. Even so, though he came unto his own creation, his own people, and they received him not yet. Here's the ray of hope, as many as received him. Now consider briefly then, we want to consider the inward working of those who received him. The cause of those who received Christ. As we've traced it out, surely it is the sovereignty of God that causes us to receive him. But what are the inner workings of this? What must take place before a man will receive Christ? First of all, listen, he must be born. Look at the text. As many as received him, them gave you the right to become the sons of God, which were born. Born. This is not an earthly birth. It is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. For a man to receive Christ, he must be raised from the dead. I know a man. He's my brother. I've known him all his life. And we were talking about faith and Christ. And he was troubled. He says, I don't think you believe that I'm a Christian. I said, well, the problem is you were never lost. If a man is never lost, how can he be found? If he's never blind, how can he receive sight? If he's never been dead, how could he be quickened? You see, in order for a man to be quickened, he has to be dead. Reason for a man's blindness and self-righteousness and worldliness and unbelief is because he is dead. Therefore, no man can come to Christ. This is why you can't come to Christ. Because you were born dead. And if you're not dead, if you've always been alive, then you've not been quickened. No man could come to Christ except the Holy Spirit give him life. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 6. You read John 6, you see this very plainly. He is confident. He says, as many as the Father has given me, they shall come to me. Now, does that sound indefinite? That sound possible. He said, he didn't say, as many as the Father had given me, they might come to me if they just will exercise their will. No, he didn't depend on them. He said, they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is the Father's will that sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose how many? How many will he lose? How many does false religion tell you he'll lose? False religion says he died for all men everywhere without exception. He lost a lot, didn't he? His death accomplished nothing for millions, billions of people. I don't know who that Christ is. That's not him. My Lord says, I will lose nothing. So how many will lose? Huh? Nothing. Why? They all shall come to me. And when they come, I will not cast them out. But let me tell you why you won't come. You that will not receive me. He said this in John 6 and verse 44. He said, no man can come unto me. You don't have to be an English scholar to understand that, do you? Grammar. You don't have to be a grammar Nazi to understand that. No man can. Has the ability to come to me. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. It's the same thing that happened to Lazarus when he was dead. He could not come to Christ unless Christ drawed him, gave him life. As it is written, they shall all be taught of God. And behold, the manifestation of all spiritual life is this. We have been taught of God. What is the first thing you've been taught of God? You that receive Christ. What is the first thing you've been taught? You've been taught that you are blind, self-righteous, worldly, and you have nothing to offer God. That's the first thing you've been taught. You see the ruin of your nature. You see the need of your soul. You are laying in the ashes of your ruin and have nothing to offer. You ever been there? If you haven't, you've not received him. I like that. I think I put it in the bulletin somewhere. You don't have to read it now, but this is good what Bunyan had said. He said, conversion is not smooth, easygoing as some men think. It is a wounding work. It's breaking of the hearts, and without wounding there is no saving. You got that? God must first wound you in order to save you. And when he quickens you, that's the first thing he does. He wounds you. He strips you of your self-righteousness. You ever been stripped? Exposed? Have you ever been guilty before God? You've not been quickened. This is the first work of the Spirit to bring us to nothing. And the second work of the Spirit then is to impart faith. That's the second work. As many as received him, they were born again. They were born of God. They were quickened. Therefore, they received him. This word received is a very simple word. If you were... I'm thirsty. I received the water. Now, why did I receive the water? I was thirsty. Why is it that you receive Christ? Because you hunger and thirst for righteousness you can't provide. You have a man that's not thirsty, and you offer him water, why would he take it? You have a man dying of thirst and you offer him water. Is it an option or a necessity? You received Christ. Was it an option or a necessity? you that still believe on Christ, is it an option or necessity? I have to have Him. I receive Him because I need Him. Or I die. It's that vital. It's that important. As many as received Him, they believed on Him because they need Him. What do they believe? I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He's God manifest in the flesh. I believe He came to save Israel. He came to save His people. He came to save them by His own obedience. He came to save them by offering Himself a sacrifice to God for their sins. He came, He died, and He rose again. I believe that. I trust that with all my soul. I need that. I have to have it. He didn't rise from the dead. I have no hope. He's not seated on the throne of glory. I never would have been called. I never would have believed had He not sent His Spirit to do it. And I tell you this, I would still be in unbelief. I would quit had His Spirit not kept me. And I would never make heaven without His power. And I drink this in. I receive this into myself for life. It's my life. It's my necessity. I receive Him. I must have Him. And those who receive Him love Him. Love Him. What's the evidence of faith? Faith worketh by love. Listen, you confess to me you believe in Christ all you want to. If you don't love Him and you don't love His people, John said you're a liar. I like the way John talks in that book. He's out there outspoken. He said, you don't love God's people? You don't love God? Shut up. You're a liar. So many people say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Have no desire to spend any time with God's people. Liar. Truth's not in you. Why? Because you love God. You love His people. And I tell you this. You love His message. What have I said that's not the Word of God? Tell me. Take this book and show me. Don't give me your feelings. Don't give me your opinions. Show me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll confess. I've showed you everything from the Word of God. I love it. I love this message. I love this because I love Him. Love Him. And listen what the Scripture says of the blessed privileges. They that receive Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God. Listen, by nature, we were not the sons of God. We were sons of Adam. By nature. Yet by grace, through faith, we are now become something we weren't. That's true this, that we were children of God from eternity. We were predestinated unto the adoption of children. Paul says in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 3, he says, because you were sons, therefore the Spirit has sent into your heart crying, Abba, Father. Because you were sons. Because you were sheep. That's why you were called and that's why you believe. But I know this, I had no experience of it until the day I received Him. And the moment I received Him, this is my privilege, I am a son of God. Now, John says, it doth not yet appear. Isn't that right? Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm a son of God. Your conscience will bring you to the dust, except God said you are His son. And it doth not appear what we shall be. I know this by faith. We may proclaim this to be, we have a right to this. Now you got this, I have a right to something. I have a right to be called the sons of God. Why? God gave me that right. Who's going to take it from you? Did you make yourself a son? Did you? Listen, if you made yourself a son, surely you can take yourself out of that sonship. I didn't make myself a son. God made me one. Who then can take me out of it? I am a son of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and all He has is mine. It's mine. All of it. It's mine. It's an inheritance. Peter said it's incorruptible, undefiled. You can't defile it. You can't corrupt it. It's preserved in heaven for you because you are sons of God. Now, why are you sons of God? Not by blood. This is happening today more than any other time. These religious parents, they see their children and they push their children into some kind of profession. I think the other day at my daughter's school, they had some little kid baptized and they all kind of just pushed him into it. You know, you want to go to hell? No. Well, you need to believe. Well, okay. Who wants to go to hell? Raise your hand. Anybody want to go to hell? No, you force anybody to say something like that and dunk him in water and say, oh, no, he's a child of God. No, it's not by that. You're not a child of God because your parents were. Your parents are Christian. That doesn't mean anything. You're not born again by blood, nor by the will of the flesh. Now, you got this. This does away with all Arminian teaching right there. Not by the will of the flesh. Nobody is born by the will of the flesh. Nobody is born by his own will. Well, preacher, I was. No, you're dead. You're dead. The Word of God tells me that they that received Christ were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of some other man. In other words, no matter how eloquent the preach, somebody thinks that if we just make the service so eloquent, if we just put a bunch of music in, somehow that would help. Nope. Entertainment. We should have a lot of entertainment. That would help. Nope. Not by the will of some other man. This is the only way you'll receive Christ. The will of God. Now you that receive Christ, is this not your confession? It was God that chose me. It was Christ that redeemed me. It was the Spirit that quickened me. And the faith I now have and exercise is a gift of God and not of works. Therefore, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It is salvation by the grace and power of God. Have you received him? Now listen, if you will not receive him, surely, and you die in your sins, it is the will of God. But you will not go to hell because of God's reprobation, you'll go to hell because of your own sin. Nobody's in hell because of God's reprobation. They're in hell because of their rejection of Christ. But if you receive Him, what's the cause? It was God. It was God who gave me such grace. I pray that God would bless this to you. If you've not received Him, I pray that God give you such grace even now to abandon all your thoughts of self-righteousness and receive Him. If you receive Him, what are you continuing to do? This morning, when you hear this message, are you not receiving Him? Faith is a continual thing, isn't it? I receive Him now. And now. And now, what a gift of God. pray that Christ is magnified and honored through His Word. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Gracious Father, dismiss us with Your benediction and blessing. Oh God, that You'd pour out Your Spirit upon us, that You would teach us Your Word. Father, we should abandon all refuge of lies and flee to Christ. Be found in Him, in His righteousness. Forgive us our sins. And bless us again that we may come and return and worship Thee through the preaching of Your gospel. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.